Welcome to the one and only Brunch Network, where thousands tune in weekly to listen to our hosts roll out of bed and talk all things sports and gambling. Now for the guys that help cure all your hangovers. Don't you dare look back, just keep your eyes on me.
I said you're holding back. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Sports Brunch here on this Sunday, March 11th, Selection Sunday at 7:04 p.m. on the East Coast. And as always, my name is Joe Caputo, joined by my co-host, Chris Malicki. Chris, it is bracket time here in 2018.
Let's go, baby! We made it! I'm ready to go! I'm ramped up, and I just, oh, man, the first thing I did is I, unfortunately, sadly, jumped on the KenPom page. And I went to see the first team on his ratings that did not make the tournament. Yeah. Number 28, St. Mary's. Yep. And I think that is a great place to start because we usually start with the selection show talking about what the committee did right, what the committee did wrong. And this, I think, was like the most egregious fielding
absolutely
I've seen,
ridiculous.
I have ever seen. It is, first of all, like I can't like say it enough, A, how like poorly run and corrupt the NCAA is, and that's very obvious. But B, this kind of goes back to my NFL rants. When you have a product like March Madness or like the NFL, which is so good and so profitable and so awesome, and you constantly screw it up, like people don't take you seriously. And March Madness is never going to be, you know, unpopular. The same way the NFL will never be unpopular. But you could be. You could really tap into just an absurd potential in this thing.
And they went really far this year.
The
fact that Syracuse is in this field.
Syracuse
and
Oklahoma.
How? Those are the two.
I'm not totally out on Oklahoma being in the field in general, but the fact that you're going to keep a St. Mary's team out.
Right. And Oklahoma's not just in the field. They're 10
seed. And they're a pick against Rhode Island.
If you can make the argument Arizona State shouldn't be in this either. I mean, what are they doing?
Yeah, Arizona State, I'm actually surprised they got it. Folks, if you're not going to listen to a single bit of our March Madness coverage besides this, please listen. Bet Rhode Island on a pick, please.
Absolutely.
I gave them as my biggest bet last year against Creighton, and it was an easy one. And this year, again, they don't get it. And, that line's going to move, and I'm upset that it's going to move, but you look at St. Mary's.
I think was the biggest snub, and I think
their strength of schedule was not great.
You can make the same. It's kind of the same case with St. Mary's and USC, both of them. They didn't play good teams, but you know that both the teams are a lot better than some of the teams that made the tournament. But also, St. Mary's, I think, even has a bigger case than USC because St. Mary's beat Gonzaga. USC doesn't have a win like that.
Gonzaga, and I think Gonzaga at a four got kind of screwed, come to think of it. Like, they're up there. They've got a, I think Alan was just tweeting about it. They've got a nice draw. But, you look at Oklahoma, and this is a problem with the whole perception. All of these ratings are based on who you beat and who you beat. And when you're just beating up people in the Big 12, when everyone says the Big 12 is the best conference college basketball,
and they didn't even beat up on the Big 12, Chris.
No,
they were
8-10.
They got slaughtered.
They have a home win against Tech. Did TCU make the tournament?
They're 6, yes.
So who are they playing? Jeez. So
they beat. Play-in winner, I think.
So they beat Wichita on the neutral, which we talked about. They swept TCU. And then they beat Texas Tech and Kansas at home. Good win.
The only tournament teams that they beat.
Well, they beat Kansas State a couple weeks ago. But, they lost to Oklahoma State twice. They lost to Iowa State. Mm-hmm. They lost to Texas, who's not great.
Somehow Texas got in, too.
Yeah, Texas was a questionable one, too. And, they ran through their non-conference.
But what ends up happening, and Alan kind of alluded to this because St. Bonaventure got in, but what ends up happening is once you put a Texas in, it makes Oklahoma look better because now, all right, whether they beat Texas or lost to Texas, at least it was a tournament team. And the same thing happened with Syracuse. They put St. Bonaventure in, and one of Syracuse's losses was to St. Bonaventure this year, non-conference. If the Bonnies are out, Syracuse has another loss to a non tournament team. So by putting certain teams in, it makes other teams look better, kind of a self-fulfilling prophecy on some of these teams and being able to justify them being in. I think I would say Syracuse, Oklahoma, Texas, and Arizona State, I wouldn't have had any of them in. I don't see the argument that you can make for any of them. And I think that there were good enough teams that were left out that could have been in, where you can't just say, oh, well, there wasn't anyone else to put in. I mean,
exactly.
We talked about the two already, St. Mary's and USC, but I mean, you can make a case for Louisville. You can make a case for Middle Tennessee. I don't think Middle Tennessee would have ever made it. Nebraska too, if you want to go that far. Right. But
I think that they're, you know, and I think, you know, one of the problems that Alan has and that I kind of have too, is that too often is this selection show based on kind of arbitrary statistics and rankings.
Well, they make up new shit every year, too.
Right, but also, like, you know, if you're a really – there are so many people out there who follow college basketball every second of every day, even more than we do, and they have power ratings for these teams, mm-hmm. and they know who are the best teams in the country and who are not the best teams in the country. Why don't you bring them in mm-hmm. and have them do it? Okay, I mean, you know, I just looked at Oklahoma's, you know, whole resume, and it is better than I thought. But you know, when you look at a team like Syracuse,
but Oklahoma, yes, their resume might be better than you thought, but just look at them the past two months.
Yes, yeah, and I don't want to advocate like, oh, you struggle down the stretch and you're out. Like, you had to know that Oklahoma was never going to be out of this tournament because they have Trae Young.
They got to be in. You know, they got to sell
tickets. Looking at Syracuse, I mean, they lost to Wake Forest.
The Syracuse.
They lost to Notre Dame with no Bonzi Colson.
Yeah.
They lost to Boston College. Florida State, a team I don't really love. They lost to Georgia Tech. They lost to Boston College. I mean,
who beat Clemson
on senior night. That's their
who? Point. Clemson?
Clemson on senior. Yeah, Clemson on senior night. And other than that, the other tournament teams they beat, they won at Miami, and that's it. They beat Buffalo, which is, you know, that's solid, but like that's it. Like how, like you really can't like look at Syracuse and look at St. Mary's and tell me Syracuse resume.
No, it's like
you're blind.
Because not only does Syracuse, not only does St. Mary's have the better win than Syracuse, because they do. The Gonzaga win is the best win. But I mean, if you look at the two teams. The worst losses are kind of similar too. I mean, you can make an argument that maybe the St. Mary's loss to Washington State is worse than like a Syracuse loss to Georgia Tech, but it's like not that much worse.
No, and it's a similar
Gonzaga
thing.
Win is so much better than any of the Syracuse wins. You
know, St. Mary's has that Gonzaga win. Not only that, they have it at Gonzaga.
Right.
It's a road win. The committee loves road wins, don't they?
No, well, not this year, apparently.
God, just brutal, brutal stuff. Yeah, apparently not. Or maybe not this year. Maybe not. It's not in this specific case. They probably, you know, you'll probably hear somebody like, maybe like, yeah, I mean, you know, Oklahoma had some good rough wins, road wins this year. So right. That's why we picked.
But then they'll go talk about St. Mary's and they'll neglect.
And they'll just say like, you know, well, I mean, they lost to Georgia on neutral court.
Right.
It's like, all right, buddy. All right, we are fired up today, which is great. I mean, this is – it's so funny. It's like a – when the selection show comes out, there really is just like a switch that gets flipped, and it only goes off after the last game on Sunday night, where we just, you know, as college basketball fans, we spend like a full week's time kind of living just like a crazed lifestyle.
Yeah, it's like this next 7 days is just I mean, I don't want to use the word mad because it's
overplayed. So yeah, on the well, nose, no, but it really is. It's just like your brain operates on like a different plane, like. It's almost, you know, I guess you could say like a sickness or something, yeah. But you know, really it's
a high. It's like a beautiful, being on a drug.
It is a high. I was thinking of like the way to put it into words before we came on the pod, and a high is the perfect way to say it.
So there's you know, we obviously have our issues with the actual ins or outs on the selection process. But
I can't
also
believe USC too. Like,
yeah,
I mean,
there's also a USC. The problem with them was they didn't beat anyone really.
Yeah, I guess, but like, you know. I mean, they the only non-tournament teams they lost to were Princeton.
I know their losses.
Washington
were not bad.
And Stanford. Like that's not awful.
USC passes the eye test, in my opinion, but apparently that's not used anymore.
No, I guess the tough thing with USC is like, you know, they they kind of had to win at some point against Arizona or Arizona State, although Arizona State looks like a bag of shit right now.
So you have all the selection problems that we just listed, and you can go on our Twitters to find a little bit more. But the other problems that arose in our minds are some of these seedings that were given and some of these matchups that are now created because of those seedings. So let's start getting to those. And let's, you know, if you've listened to the brunch in the past, this is, I think, the fifth year we're doing this, fourth or fifth year of doing March Madness Selection Sunday special. We never make picks on Selection Sunday. We always just go region by region and analyze the matchups. And then we come back on Wednesday morning and we will release our full brackets and go through all of our picks. So,
this is more of an entertainment.
Entertainment and educational podcasts.
Because we're talking about some important stuff here.
People are going to get to know some of these teams that maybe they don't know about. We're about to talk about them right now. So let's start in the South region. Virginia plays UMBC, Creighton, and Kansas State. Now, the South as a whole, in my opinion, is a little bit weak, and I think Virginia got a decent draw here, especially in this first in these first two rounds. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't know. It's funny because there are parts of the South that seem like they could make some noise, but overall, I think there are just a couple other regions that we'll get to that are just way more stacked. Virginia is an interesting team, really. I think they could be the most interesting team in the tournament, than the number overall seed. So it's kind of, you know, not the craziest thing to say. But we were watching the Virginia UNC ACC title game last night, and I bet on Virginia because I was like, you know what, like, I don't think Virginia can go too far in this tournament. I think their style of play is not going to get them too far. But they are so talented defensively, and they are so consistent that it takes a certain kind of team to beat them. And UNC is not that team. Right. UNC was not that team. I don't know if Duke would have been that team. I think you probably just need a team that's going to get a little
hot. What is the type of team?
I think you just need a team that's going to get a little hot. Yeah. That's all. They just got to get a little hot, and then they
I mean, in this in this region, game. who is it? I can't find one.
I mean, I like Tennessee. I think Tennessee's solid. I think that Arizona has me very torn. Honestly, Joe, Virginia Davidson in a Sweet 16 matchup would be really something.
It would actually be very
interesting. I think that
Davidson
that
has
could,
a brutal two great games to
it
get
does,
there.
It does, yeah. I mean, it does. And I have a tough time seeing them, you know, survive Arizona. And it sucks too, because I don't – we were talking about it too before the show. I don't know exactly what to make of Kentucky. I think there's a weird thing about Kentucky where they don't, like, lose first-round games. It doesn't really matter where they are. It just doesn't happen. I don't know if it's like, you know, they kind of have, like, a little bit of the refs on their side or whatever.
And they also really haven't been – they haven't had tough matchups.
No, they've usually been very high, but still, you know, it just doesn't really happen. Like, you know, I'm thinking too back to like last year when they had Wichita. Like, they didn't lose that game, you know, and that was a tough ass game.
Right, but that was a tough ass game.
It was, but it was kind of like a, you know, their first round game wasn't actually like a real game because it was a 15.
It was the Norse, though, Chris.
It was the Norse, and rest in peace, Norse. They're not here. Wright State is in this region, though. They got Tennessee, and I think that's going to be a quick exit for them. But we'll stay in that pod real quick. You know, just Creighton and Kansas State. I mean, is there anything out of in here that like so. Makes you no? I think that this is kind of like your classic like eight or nine formality to where the winner is just a sacrificial lamb.
It's Raisinettes versus Milk Duds to play Reese's peanut butter cups.
There you go.
I know you wanted to do some of those references. So
no, we will. I mean, it's going to be a little tough because our bracket is not done yet, which we'll get to later. But and I know you were saying too, Arizona and Buffalo. Buffalo kind of got screwed there. And
Buffalo,
I think they did.
Yeah. The problem with Buffalo is that I don't think they're big enough to beat Arizona. But Buffalo, in my opinion, was one of the better mid majors to win.
Yeah, I agree. It's going to be interesting. Arizona currently 8.5 point favorites over Buffalo.
Yeah, which
not terrible.
Yeah, it seems light.
It seems a little low. Usually, you have a team like that, especially in a 4-13, like they're usually at least laying double digits. But I think people understand how good Buffalo is. I'm just I got to make sure I don't get too drunk off DeAndre Ayton, but what I watched last night in the Pac-12 title game is when he can turn it on, and you can't really, like, know when exactly that will be, there's no player in college basketball that can stop him. I don't know if there's like two players combined that can stop him. He's a man child. He's ridiculous.
But it is important to not fall in love with those players.
Right. Well,
the tournament tends to show you the other side of those guys sometimes, somehow. I don't know how it's possible.
Yeah.
What did I want to I wanted to reference something, and now I just lost my train of thought. But I do want to go down to the Loyola Chicago draw, which I think is actually really good.
I think it's not bad for them. Seth Davis was talking about them the whole time, of course, but as soon as they fucking come on, like, it's so predictable. And I will say the one thing that the Selection Show got right is that they gave us the bracket before 6:45, and I can shut my TV off. Yeah. That was the best part.
We're doing this, and the Selection Show is still going on.
It's still happening. I ate dinner, and then we came to do this. Loyola Chicago, I mean, like we said, they are – we said it the other show, I think they're one of the hottest teams in the nation. I think they're on an 11-game winning streak. They came out of a pretty tough conference. I mean – I know that the Missouri Valley is not what it once was, but like you said, you know this conference very well. You said defenses are tough as nails there. But I think Loyola, is a hot shooting team. And
I got to be honest with you. I'm looking at this bracket now.
Oh, no.
Elite Eight is not out of the possibility, out of the question.
Well, because Loyola has the potential to knock off teams that really don't have the best offenses. And, I mean, Miami is ripe for an upset. And right now,
they're only a one-point favorite.
No, it's moved to three, Joe. There's money coming in on Miami.
Oh, Miami's three now? Yeah, it opened one.
It's now three. It opened at one. But I think this is – and I hate to take Seth Davis's pick. But
I know,
think
right?
I think there's an upset waiting to happen. I think
so, too.
Tennessee is going to be interesting, too. I don't.
That's going to be – Tennessee is a tough one to gauge.
Yeah,
I think all the SEC in general, as a matter of fact.
They are. I was talking about it to a couple friends the other day when we were watching. I think we were watching Kentucky-Bama. Like, I don't really know what these teams are. It's similar to the Big 12 where everybody's in this kind of mishmash, and it's like, well, either everyone's good or everyone's bad.
That's the thing. And then the problem is going to be there's going to probably be trends that come up in the tournament. Like, you're going to see either the SEC is going to roll through. I mean, SEC is going to roll, or they're going to really struggle in the first round.
Absolutely. I think Tennessee's got a decently safe bet in the Sweet 16 here. I don't think that Wright State's going to put much of a
– I don't think so either.
That game is going to be that game's going to be like a 55-45 game. And then we got the bottom part of the region is, a little uninspiring.
It is.
But it's interesting to, look at
these teams. What's your take on Nevada at this point?
Nevada could be
a little bit of a problem for Cincinnati.
Yes, Nevada is one of the more polarizing teams for me because I thought they were really good all year, and I thought that they were, probably one of the top 25 teams in the country, based on talent alone, all year. And they're actually 24 in KenPom right now. They lost their point guard, and that's an issue. And they've kind of been on and off since then. The loss to San Diego State was not great, although, we'll get to the Aztecs later. They are riding hot, and they are a team, you're not going to want to face.
Oh, sorry.
It's funny, too, because I remember when we first started really getting into college basketball, we had asked, you had asked me who was, some underrated teams to watch, and I said San Diego State.
Right.
And San Diego State, I believe shortly after that, we probably bet on them, and they lost by it looks like they lost by, 30. Mm-hmm. And then ever since then, they have won nine straight, and they look really good. And I hate the fact they're playing Houston. But we'll get to that.
That's a tough matchup.
Nevada's interesting because I think that Nevada has gotten pounded so much by people that I think they are now underrated. And this team, I know they're missing their point guard. They're still very talented. And they still, maybe they don't have, the kind of offense that they used to have with Lindsey Drew, but I still think that they're, a solid overall team, and it's not a tough draw with Texas.
No. That is going to be a fun game, though.
Absolutely. And then you got Cincinnati facing Georgia State. I think that, Cincinnati should be fine there, and I think Cincinnati's got, once again, a relatively easy, I'm afraid to, take Nevada here.
I don't know about that.
Cincinnati has proven to me that they are up there. Now, I don't know. There are teams that can expose them with the right matchup, but they don't seem to me like a team that's going to lose to another team that has less talent. So I'm gonna say it's pretty weird too, because like this bottom half of the region is kind of, you know, meh. And like, I mean, if we get a Tennessee Cincinnati Sweet 16 game, what, I don't really know what that is, you know. I'm not totally, and but
it almost seems like when you're gonna take chalk just to take chalk, it never actually ends up working out.
That's when it gets fucked up, and that's when Texas makes the Sweet 16.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, so.
That was kind of like who made the Sweet 16? Oh, it was like when Xavier made the Sweet 16 last year.
Yeah.
Just like randomly.
You know, that's the thing. I think that, what's it called? That's a good way to look at your brackets. You know, if you think that there's just not expiring high seeds here, that's where you get a little crazy.
Right. I do want to say, because I think we just brushed over Davidson a little bit, but what a run for Davidson these last few days. I think they might be the best team out of the A-10 at this point. I mean, Rhode Island kind of sputtered down the stretch. Davidson's going to be really, really dangerous in a tournament setting where possessions are at a premium. They don't turn the ball over. They usually get good shots. John Axel Goodmanson has just, throughout the course of the season, has become really an elite mid-major point guard. And then Peyton Aldridge down low is a force. He could shoot. I mean, everyone on Davidson could shoot. They always could shoot. They're going to be dangerous. They're tough.
Yeah, I think that the A-10 is kind of similar to the American. And I know you followed the A-10 very closely this year. I followed the American very closely this year. The teams at the top are very good, and the teams at the bottom are not as good. But that doesn't take away who is at the top. And I think, you know, Houston proved to me this weekend what Davidson probably did as well, that Davidson is right there with Rhode Island and St. Bonaventure, just as Houston is right there with Cincinnati and Wichita. And we will get there, but I think Houston is the final four contender that no one is talking about right now. And
let's go down the West then.
They have a tough-as-hell pod, but I really think that – and I think that may undo them. But, yeah, let's get into the West. Xavier has got the play-in of the Texas Southern North Carolina Central. Nothing to see there. Missouri with Michael Porter back. Everyone's going to be all over them, and they're facing your boys, Florida State, which is, you know, the woe of woes, as we've, you know, come to see. I think that Missouri might be like that, you know, obvious.
They're going to be the trendy over one pick.
Yeah, but I think that – well, I think Missouri at least is going to be – the obvious 8 or 9 pick, where it's like everyone picks this 8 or 9 matchup correct. Like, it's going to happen. I think Florida State, and we say it every year, is your classic underachiever who, you know, is like, okay, like, you know, Florida State has really struggled this year, but they're still somehow in this 8 or 9 matchup, and they just get smashed. And Missouri opening up in a 1-point favorite, so.
You have a lot of teams in this pod that are that are kind of interchangeable. Like, I feel like between Michigan 3 through 6 in this pod could all switch spots and it would still make sense. Michigan, Gonzaga, Ohio State, and Houston. Like, they're all really good. But they got stuck with some tough matchups. I mean, Ohio State plays a really tough South Dakota State team. Houston's playing a really, really tough San Diego State team. And then, you know, even Gonzaga gets Greensboro, who played really well in their tournament. And Michigan gets Montana, who's they're really good too. So, I mean, there's going to be whoever makes it out of this region, because this is a pretty tough region, is going to be very battle tested. I think that the two teams at the top here, Xavier and North Carolina, in my opinion, are maybe the most vulnerable out of the top five or six seeds.
I agree, and it's interesting too because they don't have like a super tough path to the Sweet 16. But once they get there, it's going to be all different, you know?
Yeah.
And let's get to, you know, Xavier's section of their potential Sweet 16. You have Ohio State versus South Dakota State, and Gonzaga versus Greensboro. I think Ohio State's in a little trouble. And
might be right about that.
I like Ohio State, but I think they are in some trouble here. And, you know, I think partially it's going to be that they have had quite a bit of time off. And now that, you know, they've just been sitting after an early exit in the NCAA the Big Ten tournament, and they get a South Dakota State team that is riding high and kind of blew through the conference, and you know, a couple decent teams in that conference. Whereas, you know, Ohio State losing to Penn State three times is not, you know, a matchup thing more than anything else. But
yeah,
I think South Dakota State is kind of – it might be that team that if they like are in the tournament like usually year after year and they're around that 12-13 range, this is the year they might break through. And I think no one's going to think about it because Ohio State is a very good team. But the Jackrabbits, I mean, they're going to take care of the ball. They take care of the ball better than anyone in the country. So they're not going to turn it over. So, you know, and I think that they clear the defensive glass. I know they don't force turnovers. They don't get offensive rebounds. But they've got a high-powered offense, and they've got a superstar in Mike Baum. And I think that, you know, that is something that I'm not sure if I'm picking South Dakota State just yet, but they're going to be there. And yeah. In terms of Gonzaga-Greensboro, you see Greensboro – I don't know. I mean, Gonzaga, I think
that's going to be a tough matchup for Greensboro. I mean, they're Gonzaga, good, but they're not.
Gonzaga is another team, I think.
Gonzaga is actually the most misseeded team of all the top four seeds.
Yeah.
They are the number 8 in KenPom, and they're a 4 seed.
I think that, what's it called? Oh, I'm just looking at a tweet here. Will Syracuse be included in the Field of 68? Action Network had yes at plus 775.
Wow.
No was at minus 1625.
We probably should have bet yes. Just before the selection show, I said to Vince, watch, Syracuse is going to make the tournament.
And they're currently a 1.5-point favorite against Arizona State. That's playing game, right?
You got to be careful. There's a difference between teams not deserving to be in the tournament and teams having the ability to make a run in the tournament.
Well, that's what Syracuse did a couple years ago.
Yeah, and VCU did it, I think, like 6 years ago. Like,
yeah.
You got to – yes, you could be upset and mad that a team made it, but you got to kind of move on from that.
Yeah, you separate your decision-making process with your bracket from that.
Yeah, because, so, I mean, I'm not – I haven't even looked at their matchup yet, but I'm not saying Syracuse is an easy out just because they didn't deserve to be in.
Right. So Gonzaga, I think, is another one of those teams that's like – probably not quite on people's radars as much as they should be. I think that they're going to be really good. They're the 8th ranked team in KenPom. They have top 20 in offense and defense.
Yeah.
I mean, that says it all right there. And they've just really shown like no flaws.
I just realized this. Gonzaga Xavier would be an Elite 8 rematch.
I know,
and
there's a rematch from last year. And Gonzaga was the higher seed last year. Xavier was the lower seed. Might get the same result though. You know, you might get Gonzaga. You might get Gonzaga winning. I mean, there's really not much that Gonzaga does wrong, and they're a very good offensive team, and you know they are just a terror on the glass, and they have a ton of athletes. Like, you know, it's Gonzaga seems like they have really developed into that kind of powerhouse that, you know, the blue bloods of the tournament are. All right.
The bottom half of this region is going to give me fits, especially this Houston pod. I mean,
oh my god,
I'm
so upset. Houston, San Diego State. Is a match at first round,
and then Michigan's in the second round. Jesus
Christ.
Yeah,
I know. Montana had a nice win the other night when they won their conference tournament. And normally, I would say they're not an easy 14 seed.
No, but Michigan's too good.
I don't think they have a shot against Michigan. I think it's a tough draw for them. Houston, San Diego State is a real shame. San Diego State is a team that has been, you know, kind of realizing their full potential at this. They're peaking at the perfect time, and Houston kind of is too. But when you get two teams like that,
someone's got to lose. It sucks.
I know it sucks, and it sucks even more that Michigan is going to have to face the winner of this game.
It just sucks that, like, why couldn't one of these teams, either Houston or San Diego State, switch spots with like either TCU or like play-in
winner? I know.
You know, like, why do they have to be the 6-11 facing each other?
It's tough. I could actually see myself in a scenario where I pick San Diego State. And that's when I was all weekend thinking about, like, oh, Houston's my dark horse Final Four contender. Like, nobody's going to think about them. Houston, another team, so good at, you know, just about everything. I mean, they're – that's why I like them so much. And it was against Wichita State yesterday, and we bet Houston. They were plus 3. They're a better team than Wichita State. They have a better defense. They are a better team. And they might be a better team than Cincinnati. They lost by 1 today, but they might be a better team. Like you told me, Rob Gray, guy is killing it.
He had a rough second half today, but he might have just run out of gas. He was carrying that team all weekend.
Absolutely. But, I mean, Houston is just, oh, God, they're so damn good. And, you know, I mean, the more I look at it, I think that they just might be a better version of San Diego State at this point. Like, because San Diego State, when I talked about them, you know, months ago, they're another team. You know, I like these teams that just don't have weaknesses. And there's no discernible weakness for San Diego State. I mean, you know, they're not the best three-point shooting team in the country, but that's just about it. Houston, they don't do too much at the free throw line, but otherwise, these teams are just as good as, you know, anybody in pretty much any area.
So would you be willing to say this? Will the winner of this pod win the region?
I don't want to say that because I think Gonzaga is really good. I don't want to sleep on Xavier either. And, you know, I mean, who knows what fucking North Carolina does, really, you know, at this point.
I don't think North Carolina basically is a bye to the Sweet 16. But
I don't know that. I think that they should have a pretty easy matchup against Texas A&M if they get Texas A&M.
Texas A&M stinks.
Yeah. But
so does Providence.
Yeah, but Providence, I don't think Providence would have a huge chance against North Carolina. But I think Providence, like they did all Big East tournament long and like they did all Big East season long, is they would just make these games ugly as shit and just grind.
Yeah, but they could do that in the Big East, but like...
I mean, you did it against Villanova, you could do it against North Carolina.
I don't know.
The Big East is just as good as
North Carolina.
I know they're not. I know it's a different kind of matchup, but I still think that, you know, this is a game that Providence is going to be a pain in the fucking ass for UNC if they get that. But I think UNC... they have a pretty good road to the Sweet 16.
I'm looking at Michigan. I mean, their road is brutal.
So tough. I mean, it's actually kind of crazy, like how stacked. Like there's not really. I think the South is the weakest region, and it's not even like that weak. And the rest of the regions like are
there's
very
a lot of
good
teams in this tournament. I was telling you, I think even the 16 seeds this year are way better than they usually are.
Yeah, we'll get to them.
There just weren't a lot of teams in the conference tournaments that lost top seeds. So you're getting a lot of good teams in this year. I mean, even looking at the 14 line, Bucknell, Montana, Stephen F. Austin, all very good 14 seeds. And the top of college basketball may not be as good this year. Like the one seeds may be a little more vulnerable, the twos. But I think as a whole, there's a lot of good basketball going on between the three and the six lines this year. That's going to make these brackets, these regions, very interesting. And I don't think you're going to – I mean, if there was ever a year where you're not going to see 4-1. You can guarantee it right now. There's no way you're going to see four ones in the final four this year.
No shot. And I mean, I what's that bet? Is it over under like 2.5 ones or over under 1.5 ones?
I don't know. You could probably bet either. There's going to be different odds.
Yeah, I mean, if you had 1.5 ones,
I'd probably take the under.
You know, or it's in 2.5. I think would be a lock. I don't see 2-1 seeds here.
All right, let's go to our region of death, as we've been calling it, the East.
So, Joe, I've been talking to some people since the bracket came out, and a few people have told me that the East region is very weak, contrary to popular belief. And they also told me that apparently you're Jim Nance and my Bill Rafferty saying the East is the weakest region. And, you know,
I don't understand how you could say that.
I disagree. I mean, you know,
I mean,
let's,
this region
you go,
has.
You go top to bottom, Villanova at the one, who, you know, they're probably the best one seed. Like, they probably are.
You can make that argument. It's either them or Virginia.
The 8-9 Virginia Tech, who's very good and I think is probably underseeded as an 8 seed. And not so much that they deserve better, but, like, I just think talent-wise, like, they're much better. They would make it a tough matchup for Nova. And then Alabama, who you saw what they did in the SEC tournament when Colin Sexton turns it on. They're a tough team. They're so talented. And you have West Virginia as a 5.
West Virginia is the best 5 in the field, hands down.
People are telling me the Big 12 is so good, and their second best team is the 5 seed, you know. And they get Murray State, who's probably
Murray State's the best 12.
Murray State is the best 12, and probably one of the best mid majors, if not the best mid major out there. And then you got Wichita and Marshall, and you're telling me now that Marshall's got a shot to push the Shockers. And
I mean, I think they can, just because I don't know if the Shockers are going to be able to stop Marshall.
Yeah,
I mean that's going to be a game in the 90s, probably. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. And then we have a Florida versus a St. Bonaventure UCLA. Not a huge. That one's not great.
No,
and then you got Texas Tech.
Texas Tech
is very good, and
that's
so is Purdue.
In my opinion, the best or. It's tough to say the best three, but they're just as good as any of the other threes.
I mean, okay, and you have Stephen F., who I think is not a bad 14
best team 14,
and then Arkansas.
I'll keep going.
Arkansas Butler. Let's just look at this. Okay, let's look at the top. Let's look at the top four teams in each region. Okay, so in the South we have Virginia, Cincinnati, Tennessee. In Arizona,
I mean,
that doesn't do too much for me there, you know?
That's an average to below average four.
In the West, we have Xavier, North Carolina, Michigan, and Gonzaga. The three and the four might be better than
the
three and
the four. Yeah, I agree with that.
In the Midwest, we have Kansas, we have Duke, we have Michigan State, and we have Auburn. And, I mean, Michigan State and Duke, I think, are the teams that,
yes.
You know, we're going to see – even Kansas too. We're going to see, like, can they actually play up to their potential? I think Kansas, they might be in trouble. They've been playing lights out, but I think that's hiding the fact that, you know, they've just been playing so well, but they are a team vulnerable for an upset. And Auburn, you know, I've kind of lost my shine on Auburn. And then you have the East, and you have Villanova, Purdue, Texas Tech, and Wichita State.
Purdue, the team that
Purdue
was like
should be a
the
one
consensus
seed.
Best team in the country for like 3 months.
Yeah, I mean Purdue doesn't deserve the one seed, but they have the talent of a one seed. I don't really see a world where you look at those four and you're like, yes, the East is the worst. Like,
and then that wasn't even including the five,
true.
which should be a three in West Virginia.
Exactly. Yeah. So. And I honestly, Florida even as a six, I mean that's. Florida was like a top like 15 team like in the beginning of the year.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't know. I mean, Midwest is pretty good too if those teams can all kind of live up to their potential. But the East region.
If you think the East is weak, then you got to reevaluate your college basketball analysis.
Yeah, I agree. So, sorry, Jim. Go back to kicking chairs. And sorry, Bill. Go back to your onions. Just leave it to the grown-ups. We got this for you.
All right, so let's talk a little bit about what's going to happen in this region, because I think Villanova's road is brutal, probably the toughest road of any
Villanova. The committee loves giving Villanova tough 8-9 matchups. I mean, this could be like the third time in like, what, 4 or 5 years that Villanova loses.
Yeah, they lost
to an
eight
or nine.
And then they lost to Wisconsin.
I think that Virginia Tech is very dangerous here, and I think that there is a decent shot that they could beat Villanova, and I am a huge fan of Villanova, but I think Virginia Tech is going to give them all they got, and you know, and that's even saying they get past Bama. You know, I mean, Bama's no sleeper here. I mean, they had a late run to, you know, get them up to the 9th seed in the SEC tournament, but they have the talent and they're peaking at the right time, and there is something to be said about that. You know, these talented teams peaking at the right time. Now they have a freshman point guard who, you know, is supposed to be their bread and butter. And I think Sexton, you know, we'll learn a lot about him in this game versus VTech and beyond. But it's not easy. I mean, you can't tell me that that's not the toughest 8-9, too.
No,
I mean,
it definitely is.
Like, that's the toughest 8-9.
Yeah.
It's, you know, so.
Although, Seton Hall and NC State are both very good.
No, I would say that's the second toughest. But, I mean, you look at, like, we just told you that, like, essentially, like seven of the top 10 seeds they have, like, of the. Each of are the best in each region for the East, and that's not even counting like a Murray State or a Stephen F.
Yeah.
Like
I think
I
the pod of death is the West Virginia pod. I think that that's the if you
I would still
four
say
teams,
the Michigan pod is the pod of death, but I know what you're saying. I think it's
close, but I think that West Virginia playing Murray State is a damn shame.
Yeah, it really is, and I think that West Virginia is, I think they're gonna be a little better than people expect, you know, because now they're underseeded, now they're a five, and you know Bob Huggins is looking at that and laughing his ass off, and that worries me for my Racers because they're a very good team. They might just get pressed to death.
Yeah.
I don't know if West Virginia is a team. They're all about the matchups. And, you know, this, you know, when they're playing inspired,
it's going to be tough. But like at the same time, you look at them like, yeah, if they beat Murray State, and you know Murray State is not going to be an easy matchup. But we talk about, like we said, the Mountaineers being all about the matchups. They got to force turnovers. If you have a below average or an average point guard on your team, you are done. You are screwed. That is it. Murray State, you know, they have a guy in Jonathan Stark who has been a beast this year. And I think that he's going to be a guy who's going to give the West Virginia problems. And if the Mountaineers survive that, they're going to get probably Landry Shamet and then maybe Galen Brunson. Like,
I cannot believe how much West Virginia got boned in this whole bracket.
It's actually comical, like, how good this bracket is. You know, I got to say, like, we say it every year, and I just love this time of year so much. There's something else about this one. I mean, there's something here that just –
What did Bob Huggins do to the selection committee?
I don't know. And I mean,
he gets screwed every year.
I know. He really does. And I mean, the thing, too, with West Virginia is, like, understand, like, why you don't want to trust them. But their resume is rock solid.
I like West Virginia.
I know. And I know they couldn't beat Kansas. That was their big knock. They couldn't beat Kansas. They beat Texas Tech twice.
Mm-hmm.
They beat Virginia. I mean, like,
only two teams did that this year.
Yeah, I mean, okay, whatever. And I mean, they coming through the
big. Maybe Virginia, they only could get a 5 seed though.
that's crazy. And coming through the so-called amazing Big 12, you know, they knocked off Oklahoma twice. They beat Baylor 3 times, a team that you know was like the first team out, I think.
Yeah.
And they beat TCU as well. I mean. You know, if you really believe in the Big 12, West Virginia got really screwed here. I mean, look at their losses. Like,
they were 11-7, and they made the
what's
the
bad here?
Championship.
Their worst losses are to Oklahoma State and Iowa State.
Yeah,
and Iowa State's kind of bad, but Oklahoma State. I mean, I get that their computer numbers are not that bad. They're a tough team to play,
and they beat Missouri and Virginia out of conference. I mean, I just don't get it.
Yeah, I don't know. It's great. They beat a full. And I will say this too, that people. There is, I guarantee you, there is probably 2 maximum people in the selection committee that look at West Virginia's resume and talk about a pretty much a road game against a fully healthy UCF that they won by 40.
Right.
That UCF is a team that probably, if they were healthy all year, they should be in the dance. And that is something. That is something that no one in the selection committee is talking about. Taco Fall was out. Aubrey Dawkins was out. BJ Taylor was missing time, and you know it's crazy too because you know the fact that I myself who you know follow the American conferences here, I can say with the utmost of confidence that these people who are in charge of making this bracket poo-pooed this, did not even look at the UCF win and give it much credit. They beat them by 38 points in a road game. So
and then. I
can't imagine what people are going to be thinking of when they listen to this. We sound like we're on something.
At least we are. But I just don't know what to do about Wichita State. I have no idea.
Yeah.
I think that it's one of the rare teams that actually, I mean, you followed them all year. But I think I know just as much. And because I support Wichita. I love them. But I have no idea what they're going to do in this tournament. Their defense has just been so bad.
And so quick, interesting tidbit here from Pat Ford. I just want to throw it out there real quick. We don't have to get into it too much, but Louisville out, USC out, Oklahoma State out. What do they all have in common? They are part of the federal investigation of college hoops. I'm not sure. I mean, I'm not sure Louisville deserved to be in anyway, but. You're right, and I mean, you know Marshall better than anybody, you know, and you picked them. You picked Marshall to win the Conference USA.
I did.
in a league that you said was stacked at the top, in a league that had Middle Tennessee, Western Kentucky, and Jeff Jones' Old Dominion, and you picked Marshall, and you were right. I worry about Wichita State. I don't know if they can get stops.
Can we bet really the over in the Wichita State Marshall?
Yeah, team? What is it?
I have no idea, but we're going to bet it.
Let's bet it. Let's do it all. What is there? Is that line out yet? I mean, no, Wichita minus 12. I think we got to take the points there. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, the problem here for you, I think, is you are not as invested as previously, but you're probably a tad bit too invested in the Shockers because before the season started, you said they were in the national title, and I think you kind of you want to own that take a little bit. I do, but
I'm admitting that they're not going to do that because their defense is not that good. And it's not that good. It's not good.
Yeah.
Which is why I think, I mean, I'm kind of talking myself into West Virginia going to the Sweet 16 here, because I don't, like, if you're going to be West Virginia, I mean, you're going to be able to, you have to be able to stop them in, you know, you got to be able to keep up with them defensively. Like, West Virginia is going to make stops on the defensive end. And if you're not able to, if you don't have a defense that's good enough to stop West Virginia's offense, which I don't know if Wichita's is, then it's going to be tough to keep up with them.
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting, that matchup. And, you know, Marshall, they're playing so well, too. You know, there's something to be said about these teams that are very good that come out of the conference tournament.
That's John Elmore. Did you watch the game?
I watched a little bit of the game.
He was shooting Jimmer Fredette threes from 35 feet.
Their offense is filthy. I mean, they have a – they have a 55% effective field goal percentage. It's crazy. And not only did they roll through Conference USA, their last game of the season, they won at Middle Tennessee by 9.
They beat Middle Tennessee twice this year.
There is something here with this Marshall team, you're right. I know we don't usually make bold predictions on this show, but I think that this specific brunch podcast is the best time to make them because we're still kind of like getting the information overload. Joe, I think we're going to get a Murray State Virginia Tech Sweet 16 matchup. That's my bold prediction.
Really?
I could very well change my mind in 2 days. I probably will, but if that happens, I would not be surprised at all. I think I think this East region could be where it gets fucked up right there.
All right, we'll see about that. I'm not going there.
Let's get to the bottom half of this.
The bottom half is a lot less. It's a lot more underwhelming than the top.
It is,
half.
But still, I mean, but Purdue still and Texas good teams Tech there. You know, I mean, Florida.
I think Texas Tech's in pretty good shape to maybe make an Elite Eight here.
Yeah, I think they're okay. I'm interested with this Arkansas Butler game because I wonder, you know, Arkansas they like to play fast too, and Purdue has looked a bit out of sorts in the recent month of college basketball, and I think that, you know, they do have what it takes to make a Final Four run, but are they going to be able to put it together? I mean, and I think, you know, a Butler team who they're always there. Everyone's going to love Butler. You know, it's just, you know, death taxes Butler. They're a 10 seed that's in the top 25 at KenPom. They played a brutal Big East schedule.
Yep.
They have a top 30 offense, top 50 defense, and you know they do a lot of things right. Keelan Martin is a very good player who was vastly underrated as the year started. You know, and Arkansas, like I said, you know, they could get Purdue out of sorts. That's interesting there, you know, and you're talking about Texas Tech in the Elite Eight. Don't sleep on Stephen F's.
That's true. The Stephen F is a good team. I just think that Texas Tech is way too fundamentally sound to lose to a team that's not as good as them athletically. Chris, KenPom is the GOAT. He already has all the matchups in.
Oh, really? I just checked that in. Oh,
he's so
Christmas,
great.
Baby. All right, so let's see. Sorry, no games today. Oh, the sad face. Well, okay, so wow. So he has UCLA winning by 2 against the Bonnies.
Yeah, I got to take the 3.5 there. What am I waiting for?
Arizona State over Syracuse by 1. By 1 is – yeah. Okay, for a second.
He's got it as the number one thrill score of Thursday.
I know,
but Thursday.
For a second I thought that meant it was like the first game of the day. I was like, oh, no.
No, the times have not been announced.
I know. I was just like, oh, not the first game of the tournament.
It could be, though.
It very well could be. It probably will be. We always get these early games. Actually, that's not true. But I think Florida could make it interesting against Texas Tech. I don't know if they have what it takes to beat the Red Raiders, though. I think Texas Tech is a team that has been very, very good all year. And
I think Florida might lose in the first round.
I don't think people like to talk about Texas Tech because – A, they're built on their defense, and B, they've been kind of banged up towards the end of the season. They're healthy now.
And now they have Keenan Evans back, and that's something that – it's like one of those underrated injuries that people don't really know happened.
Yeah.
And now he's back, and, you know, because he only missed one game technically.
Right.
But for about 3 games that he played, he wasn't playing well at all. I mean, he was clearly hurt.
I got some bad news for you.
What?
KenPom says Oklahoma by 1.
That's all right.
Yeah, okay.
Maybe that means we'll get some points. That's what that'll
maybe
do.
Maybe that means we'll get some points. Do you want to say anything about the Bonnies before we get out of this pod?
I think the Bonnies are going to beat UCLA, and I think they got a shot to beat Florida.
I think so, too. I think, you know, for people who haven't really paid attention to the Bonnies or the A-10 too much this year, I think Jalen Adams is going to have a coming out party.
Yeah, I mean, the thing about the Bonnies is that they have the ability to hit 15 threes in a game between Mobley, and Stockard, and all of a sudden, you know, you could be playing a good game on the other end and be losing to them because they're getting 3 points on every possession and you're only getting two. So
how old is Jalen Adams?
I think that him and Mobley, actually, no, one of them might be a junior. They're both very experienced.
They're not even a freshman, right? Okay.
No, yeah, they're both seniors.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. I could see a little Bonnie upset here and, you know, pushing Texas Tech, but, you know, this is a less, like we said, less interesting part of the region. But end of the day, the East is good. Don't let anybody tell you otherwise, kids. Just listen to the brunch.
All right, let's talk about the Midwest. By the way, I was looking at the bracket. I usually see like a 7-10 over a 2 that I love, and this year I don't see one. Like I think the 7-10 matchups are pretty underwhelming. I mean, the only 7 that I really like is Rhode Island. I don't think Rhode Island's going to beat Duke. Yeah,
they have a touch match with Duke. As much as I love Purdue, I'm a little worried about them. But
yeah, I could see that being like the sleeper. Like no one talks about Purdue going down early, but they do.
I think people, even though that people have kind of hopped off the Purdue bandwagon, I think most people realize that they're very good. And you know, I do worry that this is a game that could be like, you know, no one's really talking about all of a sudden, like, Arkansas is in the Sweet 16 and no one has any idea how we got here.
There's 5 minutes left in the game and Arkansas is up 12.
Exactly. And then Isaac Haas has 4 fouls. you don't know what's happening.
All right, let's talk about Midwest, Kansas.
Another tough one. Joe, why don't you lead the way with Kansas and RU Penn?
All right. So Justin Juddy Laderach, a friend of the podcast. Oh, he's been talking about it. He really wants the 16 over the 1, right? Mm-hmm. And I've been telling him, like, for the most part, it probably will never happen. Because most of the times, most years, if not all, I mean, like, really most years, like 90% of years, the 16 seeds that you're getting in these brackets are, like, 15-15, and they won their conference tournament. Like if Cleveland State would have won the Horizon League, they were one win away, they would be a 16 seed. And, like, they'd have no shot to be the one. But this year, there weren't really many of those that happened. So you look at the field, and, like, the worst team in the field this year is, like, by far NC Central. They're 309 on KenPom. And then you got, like, LIU, Brooklyn, and Texas Southern in the 250s. But then after that, like, UPenn is a 16 seed, and they're 127 on KenPom. Like, that's like right around Wright State and College of Charleston, who are 13 and 14 seeds. So, like, I don't think that Penn is – I don't think they have the – they're not in the same class as your usual run-of-the-mill 16 seed, which is why I think if there was ever going to be a 16 that pushed a 1 – this might be a decent shot for them to do it. I think Penn is going to hang around with Kansas, and they're only 14-point underdogs in the game.
Yeah. I think it's going to be an interesting one. I think it could be one of those where it's like all of a sudden, like, Penn's up like 7 with like 12 minutes to go, and we're like, oh fuck. Like, it's happening.
Right. Like, I don't think, you know, I will never pick it.
Because I've watched a lot of Penn basketball this weekend.
Penn's good.
They are good. And I think that, you know, like we said, they're going to be a problem.
Can you imagine what Alan Boston would do if Penn won, beat Kansas?
Oh, man. I mean, he'd probably just die because, like, he didn't really have any.
I don't think he could get – you can't get much higher than that if you're Alan Boston.
Wow, Joe, you want to hear something very interesting. So Kansas, as we all know, and it's been made very known, you know, all throughout college basketball this year, you know, they're a hot team, of course. Mm-hmm. But everybody knows how much they rely on the three ball. I mean, they shoot 40% from three.
Mm-hmm.
They take, you know, 37.4% of their shots from three.
Oh, I know where you're going with this.
And they've been hot, but all of a sudden, Joe, who is the second best team in the nation at defending the three ball?
Oh, yeah.
It's Penn. Oh, no.
Chris, I'm licking my chops, baby.
I'm convinced. This could be it. Oh, Joe, do we just, like, we probably got to throw like $100 on the Penn money, you know? Because if
I'm going to, yeah, I mean, what's that going to be? Probably.
I don't know if we'll be allowed to take it. 9-1 We might not be allowed to get it.
15 they usually give you it.
Really?
20 plus
I'm telling you this, and we usually like we don't like to, you know, go too crazy with these. Like we're pretty level headed.
Right.
This is very interesting.
It's juicy.
Very juicy. And then, you know, we move on to the 8 or 9 matchup, which has my Hall in it. Seton Hall, I think, got a little screwed with the bracket here, and as they do usually, but you
know, they always get stuck in the 8-9.
So. Hear me out here. So Seton Hall really needed a 7 seed. They needed to get out of that 8-9 matchup to get a 1. So they had Villanova as a 1 seed. They had Xavier as a 1 seed. And they had Creighton as an 8 seed, making it almost impossible for them to get in that 8-9 matchup mm-hmm. because they wouldn't be getting those teams. And they did. And apparently they were right behind Rhode Island for a beautiful date with Oklahoma. But... You know, an interesting stat I saw.
But like you said at the beginning of the pod, though, or actually it might have been even before we started, is that you'd rather be the 8 than the 7 in this region.
Yes, and that's the thing. Like, I would much rather, if they can beat NC State, I'd rather Kansas than Duke, 100%. Yeah. And that's because, so, first of all, Kansas, and Azubuki has been out for Kansas, correct?
He missed the whole tournament. I don't know if he's going to miss the NCAA.
Kansas, not only is it their over-reliance on the three ball, but it's their lack of big man depth. Seton Hall is by no means, you know, this crazy good big man team. Ever since Angel Delgado came in and had the year he did, where he just played incredibly soft and really did nothing above average besides rebound the ball. But at the end of the day, Seton Hall kills it on the offensive glass, and that is something that could give Kansas some fits. So I don't hate this matchup for them here. I mean, I think last year, like, if they were going to get UNC, they probably would have been fucked. So this is easier than that. I'm a little worried about NC State. I worry.
You know what? I'm looking at the matchup right now. I like it for Seton Hall. I never pick Seton Hall in the first round. My first year.
I think it's a toss-up. I think this game is a toss-up. I think I would go with the Hall. And I think the deciding factor might be the seniors. And I know I've shit on them all year, and not on the podcast. We haven't gotten into it too much, but I have shit on them because Seton Hall has underachieved greatly this year. They've had 4 seniors, Angel Delgado, Ish Shinogo, Desi Rodriguez, and Kadeem Carrington, who are all, you know, have showed great promise in their college basketball careers. And, you know, for the most part, Carrington and Delgado, who are the ones who really had to be the engines for this team to go, they have regressed. Delgado has just been a shell of himself, and Carrington is not a true point guard. That being said, I mean, NC State, you know, they are going to, you know, give them trouble in terms of forcing turnovers. And, of course, we know that Seton Hall's free throw issues are well documented. But
not
I think
as bad, though, as years past.
Yes, but I think when push comes to shove, I think this group of seniors is going to get it done. I think that the early exit of the Big East tournament, you know, they know this is their last game.
Are they good physically? Like, Desi's back?
Yes.
Sonogo's back?
So I just checked. Sonogo is 100%. Desi is probably like 70-80%, but that's right now. So I think by Thursday, they should be good. And I think that if they win this game, I know I'm saying like the seniors are the deciding factor. This is going to be a Miles Powell game if they win this game. Miles Powell is a sophomore. He is the best player on this team. And you can talk about Delgado all you want. You can talk about Desi. You can talk about Kadeem Carrington. Miles Powell is the best player on this team. And Sonogo, another guy who has been a lockdown defender, you know, all year, and his offense has done nothing. This year, the guy's stepping out at quarter threes. He's a stretch four. Mm-hmm. So, you know, as frustrating as this team has been for me this year, this is probably the year they win a tournament game. So,
yeah, I think so too. I think this is your year that you're going to get one.
I don't hate NC State. I think that they're
I like NC State, but they might be a year away. They overachieved this year a lot. They were not supposed to be good.
Yeah, that's true. I think Seton Hall, I mean, I it's funny too because I've said in the past couple of years I thought they could be a Sweet 16 team, and honestly that was the expectations coming into this year. They were supposed to be like a top 15 team. Once again, underwhelming. They put it together at the end. They're getting healthy, and you know we'll see what happens. But at the very least, I've got a little faith back in the Hall, and it'd be really nice if they could, you know, send this group of seniors out with a win, so I don't have this disgusting taste in my mouth. And that's.
I think you might get one this year. And,
that's all.
How great would it be for the Cuz if he got one?
Yeah, you know, I mean,
at the end of the day, we'd love to do it for the cuz, you know. I have a group chat. It's me, Vinny, the cuz, Ryan McCormick, and Mark McCormick, and we're all, you know, huge Seton Hall fans, and it's, you know, it's kind of been just a bloodbath of a chat this year because of how much they've underachieved, how negative Ryan is, and how just overwhelmingly positive the cuz is. Like, I gotta say, I mean, for someone who is a Mets, Jets, Rangers, Knicks, and Seton Hall fan, uh-huh. I have never seen so much enthusiasm out of a kid as Vinny Lotaraca. So, you know what? If anything, I hope they win it for him.
I think they're in good shape. I think that they're going to get one this year.
I think they can probably push Penn, but you know, we'll see.
I think they actually might be able to give if it is Kansas. I think they might give Kansas a good game.
I think so. I think they match up well with Kansas.
Yeah,
at the very least.
Let's go to the pod. I think that is most likely to have the 12 play the 13 in the second round, and that is Clemson, New Mexico State, Auburn, and Charleston. It might be a stretch to say Charleston would beat Auburn, but I think New Mexico State has a really legitimate shot to beat Clemson. This might be my 12 over 5 special here.
Yeah, you know, and I kind of like Clemson, but you're right. I mean, I had New Mexico State last night over Grand Canyon, and they kind of just blew through a sneaky decent whack. You know?
Actually, I completely agree with that.
You know, of all the things we never thought we'd hear ourselves say on these shows, I mean, the sneaky decent whack comment, that's got to go up there with some of the rest. I mean, let's just look at it really quickly. The whack, where are they?
Utah Valley was good.
They're 18th.
That's way up from where they've been.
Yeah, the whack is usually like rock bottom. So they're 18th, and I think New Mexico State was a clear favorite. And they are –
New Mexico State got a new coach this year in Chris Jans, who is a oh, shit. Where's he from? I think he was a Greg Marshall guy, if I'm not mistaken. But yeah. I'm not positive.
Joe, Clemson opened up at -4.5.
Yeah, I mean, this is really real.
I like New Mexico State here. I do. I really
do. Yeah, he's a Greg Marshall guy. He was a Wichita State assistant for 3 years. Jan took over last year for New Mexico State. Yeah, I mean, I think that this is a very, very possible 12 over 5. And yeah, Clemson also, I mean, they got a lot of their good non-conference wins when they had Dante Grantham before.
Yeah, and that's the thing.
And he's hurt now.
What I will say about Clemson is that they managed to fight on without Grantham. I thought they were going to fall off, and they actually were able to hang around. You know, they got a nice win over North Carolina at home. But, I mean, I got to say, since then, since that game against North Carolina, they won at home, since January 30th, beat Wake Forest, beat Pitt, lost to Florida State, lost to Duke, lost to Virginia Tech, beat Georgia Tech, beat Florida State, lost to Syracuse, beat Boston College, lost to Virginia.
Yeah.
Their best win in that stretch is against Florida State.
Yeah.
So I think New Mexico State is a very nice – if you're someone who just loves a 12 over 5, you know, I think – you know, and honestly, too, I mean, not having Grantham is tough because, you know, he's such a crucial part of their offense. New Mexico State has a top 6 defense in the country. Or, sorry, top 4. They're 14th in defense efficiency. They're 6th in effective field goal percentage defense. And they get after those boards. They kill it on the boards. So I'm all over the Aggies here.
Yeah, I picked them last year when they played Baylor.
Joe, you go to the next match, and we have an underwhelming Auburn team who is limping their way to the finish line against Earl Grant. Here's another one we could see a double-digit.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. This could be your 12-13 in the second round.
Yeah, this could be it. I mean,
this one's a little less likely, in my opinion.
I'm a little nervous for Earl. As somebody who's followed the Colonial all year, I'm not really sure how ecstatic I am about Charles.
Here's something that they could take advantage of, though. The free throw game.
Yeah.
81st in the nation getting to the line. Auburn 282nd in preventing. Yeah. Teams from getting to the line, and you know Charleston shoots 77% at the free throw line.
Right. I mean, the only thing that really is going to hurt, I would say, Charleston here is probably the rebounding.
Yeah.
But you know, they're a very experienced team. They got a lot of seniors, and Auburn is not. So you know that.
This is possible too. Yeah. I'm talking myself into it. Chile is really good.
Yeah, Chile's very good. You know, and Auburn, you know, they've lost, what, four of their past six? You know, losing the team, losing to South Carolina, not very good. You know, they got just flat out eviscerated by Alabama in the second half of that SEC title game.
And that was, you know, McLemore went down, and they actually won a couple of games after he went down, and then they just started sliding a little bit, which, I mean, to be expected. It's tough to move on from an injury, a significant injury. And I think Auburn might be in trouble here too. So watch out for that pod. That could be a fun, upset heavy pod.
Yeah, it could get broken very quickly.
All right, the bottom half of this region has two really good teams, like national championship contender teams, Michigan State and Duke.
Yeah.
I mean, Duke might. I mean, you can make an argument Duke is the best team in the country, and they're a two seed.
Yeah, Duke is a very tough team to peg right now for me. I feel like, you know, I was talking about it after the Duke-UNC game where they lost again to the Tar Heels. It's not a good matchup for Duke.
I agree. I don't really take much out of that.
No, but a team that, like, you know, they just are not really able to defend that kind of team. You know, a team that likes to run and get out there. I'm like, Duke, I mean, right now, they're struggling to play a zone. So I do think that, you know, they're
overall. Do you think they're struggling?
Well, it depends.
I think they played a very good zone.
I think against, like, top teams.
They were playing man-to-man, and then they switched to the zone. They were like, 80th or 90th in the country in defense. They switched to the zone, and now they're 7th.
Yeah, their defense has definitely shot up there. You know, I just think that, like you said, I don't want to take too much out of the North Carolina, you know, struggles, and I think that, you know, this team, like we said, the talent is all there, and I know you don't want to rely too much on all these freshmen and a freshman point guard and Bagley, who's, you know, 19, 18, whatever he is.
At least you have Grayson Allen in there.
You have Grayson Allen, and that is actually going to be, I think, a big ship. They probably have a bit of a sour taste in their mouth. They lost,
I honestly,
2 out of 3.
By the way, I think Duke is, like, I'd actually be willing to lay the 20 against Iona. I think Iona's not even, like, close to being in their league. But
I could see that. I mean, I think there are – I think every year I bet like a 20-point favorite. Like, mm-hmm. I think I did it with Kansas last year. They just smoked the 16 seed.
Yeah.
You know, I think, oh, do we get some times out?
Uh-oh.
Some of the times are appearing on my CBS bracket. We got, okay, so it looks like the South and the West.
I just want to know what the first game of the day is.
So what's the first day, March 15th?
Yes.
Gonzaga's an early one that it would be a 12 o'clock game on March 15th.
Yeah.
Uh-oh. Wait, no, 12:40 is Wright State, Tennessee. That's the first one, or the second one. 12:15, it has not been
right,
released.
Not there yet.
No, we're not there, but it's like popping up on my screen.
It's
like,
exciting.
Yeah, I'm surprised they're actually doing this. Like, I'm not even, like, refreshing my page.
All right. Back to Duke for a second. There's a specific team that's going to be able to beat Duke, or can beat Duke, and Michigan State might be it. It's a team that's going to crash the boards because the toughest thing to do out of a zone is rebound. And
right. You're in your very, very distinct positions, you know, wherever you're rotating. And it's a lot of responsibilities to be having, like, and a lot going on in your brain.
And North Carolina is the best offensive or one of the best offensive rebounding teams in the country. The second, actually. Guess who's third? Michigan State. They're fifth. So, I mean, this is the type of team that's going to beat Duke. And Duke is very good themselves on the boards. They're actually number one in the country in offensive rebounding, but they're not very good at defensive rebounding. So I think that's where the problem comes in for Duke, is if they play Michigan State, I think that might be a really tough matchup for them.
We got the first game.
Wait,
is that it?
It's usually like a pretty competitive
game. That was the first game of the Friday. It's Texas A&M Providence.
Oh, come on, Chris. You're going to be all excited.
Sorry.
I'm looking at – oh, yeah. No, it's not on pregame either yet.
Still waiting here.
Were there any other teams in this bracket that you wanted to talk about?
I mean, I think Duke.
Oh,
you know,
let's talk about Rhode Island real quick.
Yeah, I think Rhode Island. Rhode Island is, you know, a team that might have gotten lost in this shuffle. I think they're better than a 7 seed. You know,
it's a shame because now they're going to have to play a really tough road.
Yeah, it is tough, and I think, like we said, I think they've got they've got, they're not going to have too much trouble with Oklahoma. Although if Trae Young just gets hot again, like I hate everything. Like it's just not even, it's not even fair. But
I can't see it. Rhode Island's way too good defensively to let
they
it
are
happen.
Very good defensively. They will win the turnover battle. And dude, yeah, they are a top five team forcing turnovers. And Trae Young just loves giving the ball away. Machine. Loves it. So
I think that's, yeah, that's one of the locks of the first round. Let's hope that thing gets up to like maybe like people pound Trae Young. It's like Rhode Island +3.
Oh,
we just money line that shit.
Oh yeah.
You're like having an orgasm over there.
Yeah, sorry. It's, you know, a little excited in the pants over here. I'm like tentatively watching as like the times pop up like oh, the last game, is it the last game? Second to last game on Thursday. Virginia Tech, Alabama.
So what's one, who's man. Your who's your national champ right now? Like just throw it out there. Shoot. Doesn't have to be the, you can change it by Wednesday. But what, right. Who is it?
National champ. Yeah. let me look real quick. I am going to say the. This is going to make me feel filthy with everything that's happened, and I'm going to change this by. By Wednesday, just because of karma, I'm going to say Michigan State right now.
Oh my god, I was going to say the same thing.
There is no way in if God is good, there is no way that the Spartans are going to get a national title this year. It's just not
I don't think so either.
So, I'm going
to like change the way everything breaks out.
I don't really see how they like. I mean, the Midwest is. Kind of weak. Nah, the top three.
If they get by Duke, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, I don't really see.
Like, they're going to have one really tough game.
Yeah, if they get by
region.
Duke, you just laid out the blueprint of how they beat Duke.
Yeah.
So, I think Michigan State is probably rock solid Final Four, and then I'll find a way to.
Chris. Rock solid Final Four. Jesus Christ.
You like Buck now? What do you got to say about that TCU versus either Arizona State or Syracuse game?
It's maybe the worst matchup of the first round.
Anything? Nothing?
I got nothing to say.
You figure Syracuse is coming out of that somehow, some way.
Syracuse will probably be playing Michigan State. Yeah.
They're going to win 51-50. That's what's going to happen.
Michigan State has. I said that. I think I said North Carolina has a bye to the Sweet 16. I think Michigan State has a bye to the Sweet 16.
Losing before that. It's just simply not happening. If they did, it'd be
until
Jamie
Dixon is in the Sweet 16, Chris.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, if you have what's it called? If you look at the past couple of years or a couple of years ago, they lost to Middle Tennessee.
Yeah, I know.
So.
Well, if Jalen Fisher was healthy, maybe TCU can make a little bit of noise.
There's the times keep popping up, Joe.
All right, with the times. I mean, they're going to be out by the time this thing is released.
I know, it's just exciting for us.
You want to talk any candy bracket before we go?
Yeah, so we've got the Final Four going on in the candy bracket right now. I mean,
two routes, Chris. A lot of times what happens in these tournaments, a lot of good matchups leading up to the later rounds, and the later rounds tend to be blowouts.
Yeah,
and
that's
what happened here.
You look at a lot of the interesting things that happened since we last talked
about
it.
Gushers finally went down.
Gushers finally was put down to pasture. Sour Patch Watermelon, top Sour Patch Kids, and looks to be on their way to a national championship Monday.
You know, you pointed out, and what probably did Gushers in, is that their Elite Eight matchup was on a weekend. And their Twitter
Gushers
account
Twitter.
Was not active.
I don't want to be in the Gushers office tomorrow. There are going to be some upset people here. So
I mean that they were rolling before that matchup against the Watermelons. Yeah. Good for the Watermelons though. I'm happy. At least we're not going to have too much controversy around the Final Four.
I agree. Although a lot of people were saying to me like, "What do I do? Like, I like Sour Patch Kids better than Sour Patch Watermelon." I'm like, "This is no longer the matchup." Like, please vote accordingly.
Like, what are you in the when you get to the Elite Eight in the NCAA tournament? You're just going to stop betting?
Oh, my team didn't make it. I can't do it.
Yes. Okay. Chris, Rhode Island's up to 1.5 now.
Ooh, that's
the money's
good.
Coming in. No. They're laying 1.5, Chris. They're laying 1.5.
The money's See, that's the thing. In. So this is – I talked to my buddy Eck about this because he's a gambler like us. And I'll just get this tidbit in through the candy bracket. But past couple of years, I haven't had like a mobile betting account that like, you know, you bet like this week to week thing, like yeah. is different, you know? So it's hard to like bet, you know, like what do you bet before Vegas? What do you bet?
That's the problem Vegas? Is that you feel like you get like, you want to make all your bets in Vegas, but we right. don't get there. Well, you'll get there a day early.
You can't miss certain lines.
You
can't
right. Exactly. Lines, you got to identify the ones that are going
to
move.
Yeah. Yeah. You got to be smart. And I have to say, the way we close these conference tournaments, Joe, I think
Jesus
we are
Christ,
ready
we had a killer week.
On a tear. And yesterday, I know you were a little MIA yesterday, but there was a point I just wasn't losing bets.
I know. Like, I think you went 5-0 in yeah, or 6-0 in every bet that you texted me.
Yeah. And it was funny too because I what's it called? I just texted you them and I was getting out of the conferences too and you were like, be smart, and I was like, I am. And then I was like,
It's because we did so well on Friday that I didn't want to give it all back yesterday.
That's what, and that was Saturday too. I was like later on, it was like the USC game's on. And I was like, everyone I'm with betting USC. Like, what do they do here? Like,
it's all right. We actually had a decent day today too. So we closed really strong.
Yeah, very good, and I hope that's a good sign for us. Getting back to the candy bracket. I mean, anything else you really want to talk about? Twix, you know, a nice
final
four run.
I'm surprised by the Twix run. I mean, I don't like
Cookies
Twix.
And cream, man. Oh, they almost had Snickers. They were so close.
I know.
That's really too bad.
I wanted Snickers to make the final four. They didn't. Starburst had an incredible run. I mean, they blew out their first three, and then they beat.
Like they're going to come up short, though.
Yeah, I know. You got to give them credit for the run that they went on.
I think they were the number two overall seed, though. So.
Yeah. When the bracket came out, though, I mean, a lot of people picked the watermelons versus Reese's peanut butter cups. And yeah. It looks like that's what's going to happen.
So we'll do a quick National Championship Monday preview because this will be out very soon. It'll be out before the voting begins. You know, if it holds, which it probably will, we have Reese's peanut butter cups versus the Sour Patch watermelon.
I don't know. I don't know what to think. I don't know who's going to win.
I still think the cups got it.
I disagree. I think the watermelons are going to win.
The cups, you know, they were the favorites all along. I know there was a secret little anti-peanut butter cup contingent out there that...
That's what I'm thinking.
You know, I will say, though, Reese's peanut butter cup did have a bit of a cakewalk to the final, the championship game.
They did. And I mean, their toughest matchup was Kit Kats.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, like... there's something to be said about when they finally get a true contender. I mean, we're finally getting a chocolate versus quote-unquote sweet/sour/fruity matchup.
And only one of the tournament.
Yeah, exactly. So it's going to be very interesting, huge contrast of styles.
So you're going cups, and I'm going to take the watermelons. I think I took the watermelons in my bracket when I picked it
in the
before championship. Everything started.
Really? To win the whole thing?
Yeah.
Well,
who'd you pick?
I picked peanut butter cups.
There you go.
I had them over the Starburst. So
we're sticking to guns.
I had a cookies and cream completed that run. I would have had a final four, perfect final four.
Yeah, Vince told me today he had a perfect final four.
Did he?
Yeah.
Oh, good for
we
Vince.
We should probably go back and look at those brackets that we posted.
We'll see who had the best bracket. We'll check it out and we'll see. And you know, whoever it is, we'll give you a shout out and a pat on the back. But speaking of brackets, now is a better time than ever to start talking about our bracket. We mentioned on the last show we're running a free March Madness bracket for the brunch. Just enter your bracket, make your picks, only one entry per person, and you got to give your full name so we know who it is. And when you do that, you just go to our Instagram bio, click the link, and it's also on our social media accounts too.
Yeah, we're posting it everywhere. It's on Facebook, it's
all over,
it's on Instagram, it's on Twitter. You win a free t-shirt if you win the challenge. And Chris, I was thinking, if we get like a big enough turnout, like 50 plus people or something, maybe we even give out two t-shirts to the top two or something like that.
Yeah,
but it's got to be a big turnout though, like not
right
20 people.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's definitely been a lot of fun, and I don't see any reason why you shouldn't.
Yeah, I mean, it's free, so what else are you looking for?
Yeah.
All right. I mean, if you want to steal some of mine and Chris's picks, it's allowed. Our full brackets will come out on Wednesday, so make sure you are checking the brunch's social media as we will be posting our selections pod on Wednesday morning. We will pick our brackets. Follow us on Twitter at The Brunch Pod, on Instagram at The Brunch Network, and make sure you subscribe to our channel on iTunes. by just searching The Brunch Network. Thank you so much for listening, ladies and gents, to our Selection Sunday special. And the next time we see you, there will be brackets out and on the horizon. Have a good beginning to your week. Let's go.